Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. Hey, if you've been listening to the show very long, you know that I'm into nutrition, fitness. I love those things. So I'm pumped to be able to partner with Titan Nutrition. I'm a big supporter of Titan Nutrition. I use a lot of their products. Titan Nutrition is one of the most trusted and respected supplement brands in the industry. You can go to supplement stores all across the country and find their products. They have a wide variety of supplements such as protein and vitamins, pre-workouts, superfoods. I use almost all of those personally. They're backed by CGMP, which is Greater Manufacturing Practices. They use FDA monitor facilities and third-party testing, super important. So personally, when I'm taking these products, I want to make sure that they work well, they're tested, and I can trust them for my entire family. Now, you can go to their website at titannutrition.net, check out some of the amazing protein flavors like cinnamon roll, cherry bomb berry, strawberry sorbet. They have a wide variety of others. I'm a huge fan of all their chocolate flavors. And then the cinnamon roll is phenomenal. So use the discount code. This is my discount code for you guys listening to the podcast. It is Coach P, and you'll get yourself a 10% discount and free shipping, which that's huge, right? So you can also click on the link in the show notes. Again, that's titannutrition.net with the discount code Coach P. All right, promise you guys won't be disappointed. Go and check out Titan Nutrition. All right, hey, welcome to another episode of the Perspective Podcast with Coach P. I'm pumped. Today we have on Sammy Jones, and Sammy is one of the top Greco-Roman wrestlers here in the U.S., so he's on the U.S. Greco World Team. He is an inspiration. So if you follow him on social media, if you got to kind of watch his wrestling journey for the wrestling people out there, I know we have a lot of people in other sports and entrepreneurs that listen to this podcast, but Sammy is a true inspiration. He's a husband. He's a father. He's a mindset guru, and we're going to talk a lot about mindset today. And he has now blessed the world with the podcast. And so the TYBO, Turn Your Brain Off podcast. So Sammy, man, thanks for being on.
Dude, happy to be here. I appreciate you having me on your show.
Yeah, it's a blessing. So, well, let's do this. Let's just start with your background. You know, tell us about where you grew up, and then maybe a little bit of how you got into wrestling and some other sports as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I am born and raised in Folsom, Louisiana. It's south of New Orleans, about hour and 10, depending on traffic. And yeah, man, I got into wrestling when I was 8. My dad had a buddy of his and whose son was wrestling. And I was always getting in scraps. I wasn't really fighting kids, but I just had a lot of energy. So I would just wrestle kids like on the playground or whatever. I'd just grab kids and make them wrestle. And so when we found this sport, it was perfect for me. I remember my first practice like it was yesterday, going in, wrestling in my socks and being like, man, this is a blast. Never looked back, just kept wrestling. And, you know, it's unique being from Louisiana. It's not necessarily known as a wrestling hub, right? The state is more football and baseball. That's what we're known for, but there's definitely some tough cats down there. And, I was also homeschooled, so that gave me the opportunity to just pick from the best coaches. Because at the time, if you wanted to wrestle, if you wanted to wrestle in states, you had to go to a school. You couldn't be a homeschooled athlete and also participate. So when I got to high school, you know, my parents and I talked about it. We met with a bunch of different coaches to see if we might go to a school, and in the end, just decided it was best for me and our family if I just stayed homeschooled. And that was tough at first, but then we quickly realized, man, I have the freedom to travel. You know, we make our own schedule, and when it's a one-on-one with your teacher and yourself, you can be very efficient in the work you get done. So I was able to travel to all different kinds of coaches around the state. That's when I talk about like the product, that what kind of like product I am from Louisiana, there's like 10 coaches that all had a hand in my career. So that was really valuable. Kept wrestling. When I got into my eighth grade year, I decided I was only going to focus on freestyle and Greco, because if I couldn't wrestle in high school, I might as well do the next best thing, which was honestly always my goal. Was I would always tell people, you know, I want to be an Olympic wrestler. And I met this coach, Jonathan Aurelion. He's still coaching down in Louisiana. He's head coach at Jesuit High School. And first time I met him, we get to talking after practice, and he's like, you want to be in the Olympics? You're homeschooled. You can't wrestle. He's like, then don't wrestle folk style ever again. And that was it. Like, I was like, okay. And we started wrestling freestyle and Greco. And that's what got me on the path of the Olympic styles of wrestling. And wrestling up till senior year of high school, Greco was definitely my favorite. And I think it was just because I was having more success, but I just loved being able to throw. And so that's kind of why I chose Greco, is I just thought it was the most fun sport.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then talking about being from, you know, Louisiana, you know, so when we look around, we think about like what are probably the strongest wrestling states, you know. Now I'm a little biased. I grew up in Oklahoma, but in the Midwest, we have some strong wrestling. And then, of course, you have PA and Jersey and in California on the other side. But, you know, Daniel Cormier came out of Louisiana, Corey Hill out of Louisiana, you know, and then Sammy Jones out of Louisiana. So Louisiana is definitely guys out there that can scrap.
Guy Patron.
Yeah. And we see in the MMA world too, man. Louisiana's, you know, got some guys in there that are just absolute monsters. So it's a,
They breed them different down there. They breed them different down there.
Now I got to ask, you know, where did you growing up in Louisiana? Like, were you close to the bayous or anything? I mean, where did you live at, and kind of what was that experience?
Yeah, so I am pretty far down south in Louisiana. I'm very much so in the boot. Culturally, I love it, man. The people down there are so nice. And where I grew up, we were out in the country. You know, we live right near the river. 20 minutes out of town. We definitely were rural Louisiana. And I always like joke about it. I loved it because we could go outside and do whatever we want. You could go outside and scream as loud as you want. You didn't have to wear clothes if you wanted, you know, and like I had brothers and we were wild, man. So it was a great upbringing for me. And I hold on to that as I've gotten older. I kind of appreciate where I was raised even more now that I have my own son. You know, and we're making memories. We caught a snake this morning, you know, big 5-foot bull snake, taking the trash out. And like that stuff I did when I was a kid. And so it's fun to like do that with my son. And it just makes me reminisce and be like, man, I was kind of wild growing up like we did. And as you get to know other people and hear about their upbringing, you're like, man, we had totally different experiences in life. And I think it's definitely shaped who I am as an individual for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I grew up in small town Oklahoma and, you know, where we had a lot of freedoms like that too. And I often think back and reminisce, like that's always home. I don't live there now, but it's always home and it was a blessing. And I will tell you, man, I absolutely love Cajun food. Like one of my favorites. So my mom's.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, my mom's from Southern Oklahoma, and we had family actually came from Louisiana, so she got to get some of those old family recipes, and man, I can get down on some Cajun foods. So.
Oh yeah, man. The food, you can't beat the food.
No, and like you said, in the culture, man, it's such a culturally diverse place when you really get into the history. So, which is awesome, and that I know influences and sort of informs the lives of everyone who gets to grow up there, which is great. So. All right. So, you know, looking at your wrestling career, Greco, you know, has become your passion and you're really, really good at Greco. And in the U.S., freestyle, probably in the world, but let's look at the U.S., you know, freestyle kind of gets more exposure and those type of things. What do you, because I know your path has been pretty unique in Greco as well. What does that look like for you? You know, because there are people at the Olympic Training Center for freestyle and Greco, but then there's regional training centers all over the U.S., especially for freestyle, or that's what we get to see more of. What has kind of been your path of development as a U.S. Greco athlete?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think my unique upbringing really prepared me to be able to get creative. And I've never taken the traditional path, like you pointed out. You know, I went to Northern Michigan and had a great experience there. I was under Coach Rob Herman and Agassiz Manoukian and Andy Bezik. So got a great Greco foundation, got a great college experience there. And so that was kind of the path. And then after that was really needed to get creative of where to go. And of course we hit COVID. And so we just started traveling. My wife and I, all around the country. We've been out in Utah. We left Michigan, came back to Michigan. We went to Louisiana. Now we're in Colorado. And I think like it has never been something that I've stressed or worried about. You know, the opportunities always pop up if you're looking for them. And, you know, I've trained by myself plenty of times. When I was a kid, like I had to travel an hour to practice where I competed. And so there would be days where I just couldn't make it. And I would have to do my own workouts out in the yard or go, you know, go for a run or do my own cross training. And so that was something that I was so used to doing that I just kind of do that naturally. And now a place where I'm at a training center full time, I've got training partners, we bring guys in. So I'm at a place now where it's very, very organized and very structured. But there was definitely times where it was like, there is no obvious choice of like, where do I go train? You know, in Greco, once you get out of college, it's, you can either join the army or kind of do your own thing. And so for me, just like the way my lifestyle and the way we want to live, it was, we had to get creative. So I think I've been really prepared by my upbringing. I'm very, you have to be self-disciplined as a homeschool student. And you have to figure out how to get the job done. And I think at the end of the day, this is my dream. This is goals that I've had my whole life. So I don't expect anyone to come hold my hand and say, hey, let me show you how to do it, or let me take care of you and get you there. It's never been that way for me. I've definitely had so many people help me, but I had to do the work. So I'm totally fine with that.
I'm glad you pointed that out. That's something that I often heard my dad say. And so it's something that I tell my athletes as well. And the parents, you know, we're talking to our parents of our athletes, but ultimately, you know, we're going to provide the absolute best we can. But at the end of the day, like athlete, it is your journey, right? It is your journey. And when you buy in and you decide that you're going to do the work and the things that it takes, because we get you a couple hours a day. You know, so what you decide to do the other 22 hours a day, you know, that's 100% on you. And it's so awesome that once you see somebody realize, this is my journey, right? I'm the one who actually goes out and wrestles. I'm the one who gets my hand raised or doesn't. I'm the one who, you know, I get to keep the medal, coach doesn't, parents don't, right? Those type of things. Once you see somebody buy in and make it their journey, you just see growth. Not that there's not adversity or ups and downs, because there is, that's life, that's sport. But you just see them really start to take off and buy in. So as a coach, that's like one of the coolest things for me to watch. So it's great to hear that for you. Like, you, I mean, you know, you knew a long time ago, like, hey, this is my journey. I got to be the one who's responsible to do this. No, saying that, though, who are some of the coaches that are pouring into your life right now?
Yeah. Well, right now, number one is Joe Warren and Leister Bowling. They're my coaches at Top Team Colorado. That's the facility. That's where I train full-time, and those are my personal coaches. Of course, I represent Sunkist, so Ike Anderson as well, and then all the national team coaches. You know, once I've gotten to, you know, started making national teams and world teams, I'm in and out of the training center all the time. So right now, Herb House, Justin Ruiz, Barrero, those are all coaches that are impacting, you know, my training as well. But primarily, I'm going with Joe and Leister. Those are the guys that we have our periodization plan that we've worked out together. And that's kind of like our training system that we're following. I met Joe just because he lives around the training center, or I had known Joe, but it just in passing. We didn't really have a developed relationship. And I asked him one day to come in and work some tech week with me. And then he came in again and he started coming in like every day after practice, we started working together. Then he started bringing me up to Top Team, which is just north of Denver. And I just loved his energy. I mean, he's unhinged, very, will tell you what he's thinking. And I kind of like that, you know, when you know what someone thinks, they're not holding back. And I hadn't been around someone like that in a while. Hadn't been around someone who was also a world champ at my weight class. So that was something I was like, I need to be around this guy and just see what it's like. What are the things mentally that maybe he is incorporated into his career that I don't have yet? And so that's just been a really cool experience. You know, we're not the same person. We don't see the world the same way. But then there's definitely some areas where it's like, man, you tell me to do it, I'm just going to do it. I trust you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's been a good partnership.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and there's another excellent point, you know, for people to be able to hear, like, find someone, you don't have to follow the exact same path, but find someone who's been there and done that and learn from those people. Right. So, you know, I want to talk about the mental part in a minute, because I know that's something like, if anybody follows you on social media, they can see the great content that you share and that you're passionate about it. But I'm a huge fan of the mental component. I'm also a nerd when it comes to like strength conditioning and physicality and all that stuff. So I want to hear, maybe this is just for me, but hopefully some people out there are listening. But like, what are some of the things that you do as far as your actual training goes? You know, if I were to like look at like, okay, what's a day or two in the life of Sammy Jones when it comes to eating and training and recovery, those type of things?
Certainly. So since working with Joe, we are partnered up with Phase 4, Bob Forrester. He's out in Santa Monica, California. And that is it's all personalized training. So you go out, you do some tests. They put you through like a max heart rate test. They do a resting heart rate. They do a bunch of other like exercises, just see your body composition and what you need. It's pretty rigorous of like checking out your diet, all that stuff. And then he puts a training plan together for me. And so depending on where we are, typically it is a like focus in the morning of reaching certain heart rate zones. And then the afternoon is going to be either just technique or live goes. So right now we are kind of in between, you know, the ending of last season and the start of the next season. So, I'm doing a lot of running, just keeping my weight, my conditioning really good, doing some like workouts to get stronger. That's the main focus. We're not on the mat super heavy right now. We're having technique practices. And, I mean, we just finished up a national team camp a week and a half ago, and we're about to roll into another 10-day camp. So we're definitely having some intensive wrestling workouts right now, but our schedule right now is, I'm getting stronger and kind of keeping my weight lean. My wife, she's the superstar with that. When I met her, my eating habits were just not great. You know, young bachelor, I'm eating the same thing every single day. Food's pretty bland, not very exciting, and not necessarily a plan for how I was making weight. And that's just something that she's passionate about. She's really good at. And she came in and like the 2020 Olympic trials, I went down to 60 kilos. And that was a bit of a cut for me. And she did everything. I didn't have a nutritionist. She mapped it out for me. She did all of the cooking and got my weight down easy. So what we've done is we just take the plan from Phase 4. And then my wife just prepares all the meals, man. I'm spoiled, but that's helped a ton. I mean, you got to have a team around you. That's something I've learned, kind of, I guess, in the later half of my career, is even though it's an individual sport, you have to have a team. So nutritionist, someone doing a lifting plan, you've got your technician, your technique coach, you got to have partners. And so my wife's part of my team.
Love it, man. That is awesome. First off, it's what it takes to be, you know, an elite athlete. And I think if we were to apply that same concept, you know, my coaching staff, I have to have coaches that have different abilities and giftings, right? And then allow them to use those things. And then when they are allowed to use those giftings and abilities, we have a stronger team, you know? So if somebody's running a business, if you're the CEO of your business, like if you did everything yourself, you would be the limit. You'd be the ceiling. But if you bring in other great people, then all of a sudden, man, you can skyrocket. That's awesome to be able to hear, you know, what you have. And then, you know, for you right there at home, because, man, eating is so important, what you're putting in your body, and especially in a sport where you got to make weight, you know, but just so you feel because the kind of training that you do at the level you're at is it's not, you know, it's not what most people have ever experienced at any point in their life. And to do that, you have to like fuel the workout. You have to be able to recover from the workouts. And there's a lot that goes into that. So it's cool for me to be able to hear that and hear what you're doing. What are, real quick, what are some of the other like non-negotiable daily habits that you have, right? So whether that's a morning routine or an evening routine, like what are some of the things that you build in outside of like wrestling and strength training?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. So one of the things that I've learned since being married is how much I need to have like alone time. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely an outgoing person. Love to connect with people, love to talk and connect with people all day long. That's what I do outside of wrestling. I'm on calls. I'm coaching other athletes or coach other business leaders, but the alone time is something that I just need to get filled up. So my wife and I, we've found times in the day. So for the last 6 years or so, I get up before anybody else in the house does. And I just have time with my God. That's for me to get filled up. I feel like I need that. If I can connect with God every single day, I can give out to people. I can be, I could be a better person. I'm going to be a better wrestler. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better father. I'm going to be a better friend. That's like what I've narrowed it down to. If I can just get time in that, and that looks different. Sometimes it's meditation. Sometimes it's reading. Sometimes it's just praying. Sometimes it's journaling. But it's always journaling. That's another thing, is like, I get up and I'm writing what I want to do for the day, what I'm feeling, what the things I'm processing. That is a huge non-negotiable for me. If it doesn't happen, there's absolutely a correlation to the frustration I feel throughout the day, the productivity level throughout the day, and just like my ability to be present with my family and the people around me. That's the biggest thing, is I just have to get away and have my coffee and have my time. And that's the biggest thing in the morning. In the evening, what we've recently started doing is just the practice. I read this book. It's called The Gap in the Gain. And it's all about viewing the progress you're making by measuring your progress by looking backwards. So if I have this goal I'm trying to achieve, instead of constantly measuring upwards to my ideal and seeing where like, man, I have so far to go, it's a daily reflection of looking backwards. So, okay, what are the gains I've made today? And what it does is it just builds this attitude or this mindset that's focused on the gratitude, right? The things that I've gained. And you know, if you look back 10 years, you look back 5 years, you look back 3 years, 2, 1 year, 6 months, 3 months, at the end of your day, and you're constantly measuring back, you're seeing the progress. So that has helped me tremendously stay focused, not get overwhelmed with, man, I haven't accomplished this goal yet, or I thought I'd be here by now. It's helped me just let those thoughts pass by and just kind of stay disciplined. That's been a huge thing. So those are the two things. It's a morning time alone with a purpose. What's the day going to look like? And then it's an evening reflection. Other than that, I mean, I my wife and I walk every day and that's just so that we can connect. That, like, I'm a verbal processor. I get alone, kind of journal my stuff out, and then I need to verbally process that. And for me, that's just with my wife. We get a little bit of exercise. We get to be outside. We're big on that, man. We're always outside. Those are three things that's a typical day. And that's something that I definitely prioritize on top of my training.
Mm, excellent. Excellent. That is, my wife and I, we walk pretty much every single day, and that's our time. And having a big family, a lot of kids and a chaotic life, that's the time that we can just kind of connect and, share whatever's on her mind, and also just kind of like find a place of peace for a little bit, you know, which is good. Yeah. And then the alone time, I'm the same way, man. Like, I'm around people all the time, but I have to have that. You have to have a time built into your life. And I know everybody's different personalities, but where you can just sort of rebuild, restructure. Yeah. Get alone with God. And then when you do those things, you're better for other people, you know? So when you get on the airplane, they tell you to put on your mask first, and there's some true value in being able to do that. So then you can give your best to other people as well. And you can say mentally right, which leads us into, you know, a little bit more on mindset. I don't want to let this opportunity pass by either. So you mentioned drinking coffee. What kind of coffee would that be?
Yeah, the Wild Man Brew. Yeah. So some really good buddies of mine have started a coffee company, Kepa Coffee. This is a plug for them. It is high end, man. It's phenomenal stuff. I gotta send you a bag.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're my plug for coffee to fuel my addiction. And yeah, it's a part of my daily, it's part of the routine, right? You gotta have something to look forward to. So I wake up, my first thought is like, all right, my alarm's in the other room, so I gotta get up and go get it. And I'm turning on the water right away, making my water. I drink my 20 ounces of water, and then I can have my coffee. And I wake up slowly that way. You know, I can welcome the day as opposed to like I oversleep and then I got to jump into the day. My mind's frazzled. Like I'm like a diesel engine. I got to wake up. I got to warm that thing up.
Yeah. No, that's great. And yeah, I saw you have your own coffee. I would love to try it, man. That'd be excellent.
Oh yeah. I'll get your address. I'll send you a bag after this.
All right. Sounds good. And then I'll make sure I put a link on the show notes too. So people can jump on and they can get the coffee. So, you know, looking at mindset, there's so much to it. And I'm a huge proponent. You know, I coach for wrestling mindset as well. And, you know, growing up, even though my dad's a phenomenal coach, and I think he built a lot of this in just naturally because he's a good coach. And then I had a couple of really good college coaches, but that was a long time ago. I'm old. There wasn't a lot of focus on strictly mindset training. Okay. And then today, thankfully, we're getting more and more of it. It's getting accepted more. And something that I know I talk to athletes about sometimes is sometimes we come to mindset training or we begin to look at it because we feel like we have a deficiency. Like maybe I don't deal with nerves or anxiety well, or, you know, I'm not performing as well in live competitions I do in practice or whatever. But it's not always because you have a deficiency, man. Sometimes people come and they want to do mindset training because they just have a growth mindset. They're like, dude, I want to be great everywhere, right? Like I'm doing the things physically I need to do. Hopefully we're doing the things spiritually we need to do. I also want to make sure that I perform my best. So, you know, reading some of the things you've written over the years, looking at some of the social media stuff that you have, you're putting out there. I know it's important to you. Why as a current competitive athlete, do you value mindset training? What are some of the things? Because there's so many areas we could speak on, right? I think all throughout your career, I know if I look back on my career, you know, there were times that I performed great and I was in flow and everything was good. There were other times that I worried about the person across from me or what school they represented, or I just didn't feel great that day, or whatever it is. There are lots of things that we can address. But again, I'm old. I'm coaching now and I can be there, but you're like in the midst of competition. Okay, so why is it valuable to you and what are some of the things you've learned along the way?
Great question, dude. For me, what's going on in your head impacts everything. So what I mean by that is the stuff that I'm dwelling on, the stuff that I'm allowing myself to think about, to feel, to like take hold of as true, that impacts the habits that I do, that I build. So in my alone time, it impacts the way that I look at my relationships with my friends or my family, the way that I train, like the way that I go about anything. It all starts with what I'm putting into my mind. That kind of goes back to having that alone time where I get with God and like fill myself up with some truth. And when it comes to like the mindset stuff, like you're never going to overcome, you're never going to not have fear. You're never going to not have doubts. But by training it, by being intentional with the way that I think and the way that I process, I can pivot quickly around those things. So in wrestling, it's a great example for sports because it's tangible. So we can have a bad call, or I can have a tough weight cut, or whatever, you know, myriad of issues could come up, and that could derail you as an athlete. When you're competing and when you're training, I mean, you show up to practice, you have a hard training for that day. If you're not mentally prepared, you might break, you might not be able to get as much out of it as you could if you were ready and locked in, ready to go. So that's why it's so important to me is I'm trying to be consistent. I'm trying to perform at the highest level. And so consistency. If you look across the board, the best guys in the world, they perform consistently again and again and again. And I think a big part of that is the mindset, because at a high level, most competitors, they're all strong. They're all fast. They're all hard workers. They all have really good technique. So what separates them?
Yeah.
I think it's very, very small. It's your timing. It might be your setups, the way you do things, but a big part of it is mentally, like who gets it done when the pressure's on. So that's something that I've identified in myself. You know, I must have lucky draws to get here. That the guys that I wrestled must not have been that good, because I'm from Louisiana. I shouldn't be winning. That was very much so something I thought. And I was really good in high school. I looked back and I was watching some film. Somebody showed me some film when I was wrestling at Fargo. And I was like, man, I was pretty good in high school. Like, why didn't I believe in myself? And I mean, it was just that. I had these things that were prohibiting me mentally. And so once that was pointed out to me, and I saw that there was people that were talking about mindset and working on it and actually meeting with coaches, I didn't know it was a thing. It just made sense to me. You know, the Bible talks about like what you put into your mind, like it comes out, like, or what's in your heart comes out in your actions and your words. And I think it's the same way with like wrestling. It's what you put into your mind is going to come out in your actions. That's why I focus on it.
Yeah, it's important. I want to ask real quick, because you talked about consistency. What does pre-practice and what does pre-competition look like for you? What are the things that you're doing to allow yourself to consistently perform in practice, right? And to consistently perform in competition?
Absolutely. I'm huge on self-talk. I talk to my, you know, it's kind of a crazy person, but man, you're your biggest advocate. You have to talk to yourself. And so going into practice with an intention, not just showing up to train just to train, but to be, man, I want to get better at my side lift. I want to get better at my underhook. I need to control this. Going in with a purpose, a lot of that is like the self-talk. And since working with Joe as well, like that's something he preaches like crazy. He's like, I want you to get to practice a half hour early, and I want you to like warm your mind up. So talk to yourself of like reminding yourself who you are, the intensity you want to bring. You've got an hour to an hour and a half to train. So like, how can I get the very most out of this training? One, come in with a purpose, but second, just, man, I'm going to give everything I have. And like, so I have to like mentally prepare myself to exert that amount of energy. Wrestling's hard, man. Like my body hurts. Everybody's got bumps and bruises. You're sore. You have to be able to like push that and or push past that and give it when it's required of you. So that's like pre-practice, just a lot of self-talk. And then as far as like competition, reminding myself of the training that I've already done. You know, I'm prepared for this. I like to look at like competition as the easy part, honestly. Like if I've made it through the training, our training plan that we've mapped out, I've gone through that, I've followed it, I've been disciplined with it, I've done everything that we mapped out, I've been disciplined with my diet, like I'm ready to go. The work's already been done. Now I just get to show up and I get to perform. I get to compete. And something that I tell myself a lot is I don't have to have any kind of out of body experience during this competition. All I have to do is what I do every single day. Like the techniques you see me hit in tournaments, the throws, like that's every day. That's a normal thing for me to be going through these actions and these attacks. So a lot, I like with just working with coaches myself and other athletes, like we it's time to compete and we have this pressure we put on ourselves of like, man, I need to perform better than I ever had in my life to win this tournament. And so we put all of this unnecessary pressure. It's like, man, all you got to do is what you do every day. You know, you do this twice a day, every single day, and you've been doing it for over 20 years. Like, come on, man. Like that's what my confidence is built on. So I just remind myself of that. And of course I've got, you know, pre-match routines of, where I'm putting myself mentally to get in the zone and like, kind of walking through what the game plan is, what my attacks are going to be, what I'm going to do, right when the whistle blows. And just kind of repeating that, you know, wrestling mindset, the mindset principles is something you learn, you know, first call with your coach, right? I'm thankful for the opportunity to wrestle today. I'm aggressive and relentless, not afraid to give up points, lose matches, and I'll never, ever quit. That's something that, like, man, if you're nervous, if you're feeling that pressure, reminding yourself, like, man, I get to compete. I'm excited to be here. And the nerves that I'm feeling is like, that's a good thing. That's excitement. And just framing it that way has helped me so much.
Man, you just threw a lot in there that I hope people can go back, and people should always take notes. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you hear something, when you listen to somebody who's very good at their craft, like, don't just leave it to your brain, right? Take notes. So I suggest people listen, like, take notes, right? Because you know someone, maybe it's you or maybe it's one of your kids, and you don't have to be an athlete. Like, maybe we were talking off camera a little bit about public speaking, those type of things, right? Mm-hmm. Communication, being a great communicator. And, you know, so maybe you're someone who, you know, you are in a position where you have to, or you get to communicate. Well, maybe you feel nerves before that. So coming up with a pre-competition plan before you go out and speak, right? So it's a pre-speech plan, or before you have to go in and conduct a meeting at your business, right? I have sort of a pre-game plan I'm going to do, right? So this applies, like, in so many areas of life. And one of the things I love that you just said was talking about, because I specifically remember the conversation, my college coach telling us going to a national tournament, you don't have to have the best tournament of your life. You don't. Lots of guys won't. Just go out and do what you've always done. Just go out and be consistent and just wrestle how you wrestle. Mm-hmm. And I remember that making a huge impact, because I was like, what? Like, I had this in my mind, like, I was going to have to perform better than I'd ever performed. And it's not true. And so it's something we always tell our athletes, like, right before they go compete, you know, one of the last things we do is something, you be you, right? You do this every single day. You just go out and wrestle your style, yep. Use your system, and you be you. And then it's actually on my shirt right now, but you get to do this. Gratitude, effort, and toughness is something you use with their team. But get.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we tell them all the time, you get to do this, right? So this is an exciting opportunity, and we're going to walk in gratitude with it. But anyway, man, you threw a lot in there that is phenomenal. And it's just, you said a while ago, you know, what gets down in your heart comes out of your mouth. These things are, like, literally in your heart. They're part of who you are. So you can just say them out loud. But there was a lot there for people to hear and take in. So if you're an athlete or a coach, man, go back and really listen. And when you hear the areas that maybe you struggle with, or they hit, you know, something just sparked there, like, write it down, because there were some really good solutions in there too. So I appreciate you, man, sharing these things with us. You know, it's huge. As we kind of get ready to close out, I always throw what I call, like, some quick hitters out here and just expound upon them as much as you want. All right. So this first one, what's one thing that you would do in life if you know you couldn't fail? Like, there's no way you could fail. What would that thing be?
Oh, man. All right. Well, it's what I'm doing right now. I mean, I'm living the life that I would live if I had, you know, 10 days to live, honestly. So I would keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to keep training. I'm very passionate about sharing the things that we're talking about today with the people around me. That's a dream of mine, is to, you know, like we talked about before, is to speak and to teach and just share these life principles that I've learned through the sport of wrestling and from being around really high performers. All throughout my life, I've been surrounded by the best. And so I've just kind of absorbed a lot of lessons. And, like, I'm now at a point where the focus is kind of shifting from very, like, selfish or, like, all about me and my career and what I want to accomplish to, man, there's not many better feelings than helping someone else kind of figure out, unlock these things mentally and see what they create. And so that's something that I've kind of fallen, the love for that has grown. And so if there's one thing that I'd want to do, if, like, I knew I couldn't fail, is, like, I want to give that away to as many people as I can. And I want to learn how to be a good, you know, entrepreneur in that way. So that's something, yeah, I'd go for that. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm building that for, while I'm in wrestling and after wrestling.
Excellent. Well, that may have answered this next question, because next question is, flip that. What's something that if you knew that you would fail, you would still do it anyway. You'd still go after it.
Yeah, man. I don't think I changed anything. You're not guaranteed. You're not guaranteed anything in life. And so I'm just going to live the way that I think is aligned with the most important things to me. And I think we all have a unique desire in us, right? Of something that stands out to us. It's like, man, I want to experience this. I want to do this. And I want to be about this. I want to be this kind of a leader in my life. And so you don't have any guarantees. I mean, what things are guaranteed to us?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't change anything. I just keep doing what I'm doing.
That's awesome.
And fail, dude, and look, the way we look at failure, I mean, who's to say like it's a failure, even if I might have an ideal, like this is the perfect scenario in my head. We're never going to reach that. You know, you look at the greatest who talk about I'm pursuing excellence and perfection, knowing full well, I'll never reach it. You know, you hear Kobe Bryant say that, you listen to some of these actors and their interviews when they win these awards, that it's, I'm always pushing myself. And so the idea of failing, maybe it didn't look how I thought it would look, but I know I'm going to have incredible experiences along the way. I know I'm going to have impact on other people's lives. I know it's going to impact my identity and my character. So yeah, I'm still going to send it.
Awesome, man. I love it. You have a phenomenal perspective. All right. This next one, you can answer one of these or you can answer all three. Okay. I call these the three H's. So the three H's are, tell me about a hero, a hardship, or a highlight in your life. Hero, hardship, highlight, or a little of each.
I'm going to go with, so a hardship in my life has definitely, and it's absolutely shaped who I am. When I was in high school, I went through a pretty traumatic experience. And there was a friend that we were close to in our community, and he ended his life, man. And seeing that happen at a young age, I didn't have the tools to process it. I didn't know what to do to handle those emotions that I felt. And so I kind of just like stuffed them and like moved on. And even though it wasn't in my family, and like, you know, it still impacted me tremendously. And it wasn't until years later where it just had to come out. Mm-hmm. And the way that that happened was I was definitely living a life that was not good, was not healthy, making choices that were not good for me, weren't good for the people around me. And I had some friends that just loved me well. And they reached out to me and just kind of just were there for me and encouraged me and like to share what was going on. I didn't even know, honestly, dude, I didn't even know what it was that was inside of me. I was feeling like a lot of pain, and it was like a lot of negative energy. And, they were like, dude, you need to talk to somebody. And so I went and, started meeting with a therapist, and after like a lot of sessions, because like I was a tough little dude, you know, like I'd wrestled my whole life, and like you don't show your weaknesses when you're wrestling. You like, if I'm really bad at defending something, I'm not gonna let you get there. And so I had applied that like philosophy to my life of, if there was something that I felt, and I think we all do that, right? Like being vulnerable is very difficult, because definition of being vulnerable is sharing like a pain, a hurt, as like a weakness. And so going through that, like it took a while, and there was one day where there was this breakthrough, and I like just a huge emotional release happened. I'm 18 years old at this point, and 18, 19 years old. And that was like the first time that I had felt like, man, I need to talk about these things. This is important. And that's when I started journaling. I haven't stopped since. Like, I need to have that like processing. If there's something going on underneath the surface, it has to come out. And like, I just see life that way. I see it in wrestling. I see it in the way that you spend your money, the way that you interact with people. Like, there are things from just your childhood, your makeup, your experiences in life that impact those decisions. And so digging them out and like doing the intentional work of like, you know, why do I respond this way? Why do I feel this way when this happens? And That was an absolutely defining experience that it absolutely impacts who I am, the intensity that I bring, the intentionality that I bring, that all comes from that experience. So that was definitely a hardship that that I now look back on, and I'm very thankful for the lessons that I've learned through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I think, all of us, and maybe men especially, and then to categorize that more, wrestlers, right? So, or, you know, people that are like like tough physical sports. Yeah, like it, your persona or your, you know, you kind of lock away sometimes those feelings, man, and because you don't want to show weakness and you want to be tough. And then hopefully, like you know, you said, you have a breakthrough at some point where you realize, like, man, being tough is actually being vulnerable. Being tough is actually opening up about these things and being able to let this out, to be able to love people well, like that's actually being tough. So, man, that's a great lesson to learn. And it's something that we just got to do. If not, we're not going to walk in health, mentally, physically, spiritually, all those areas are going to be. So I believe God's gifted us all, man. He's given everybody unique gifts and abilities. And part of our job is to be able to take those things and be really good at them so that we have a platform to shine a light back on him. But I'm going to call it your genius, right? I think everybody has a different kind of genius. What would you say is your genius?
Yeah, I like that. I really like that. My genius is I'm pretty good at making space for people to feel heard, feel understood, and help them kind of, like I was talking about, like kind of dig down beneath the surface and kind of uncover the things that drive them in life. To, you know, whether it's an ambition, a dream, a goal, like I'm really good at helping people like identify that and then get it done. And so I think that really comes back to being a listener. That's something that, like, I don't know, I observed just from my parents, you know, they're really good at being good listeners. And I think something I can remember this, it's funny. I must have been like 12 years old. I used to swim. That was another sport I did. I was a swimmer, and we were at a swim meet, and I was with my cousins. They were also on the team, and my aunt. It was in between sessions. We're in the hotel room, and for whatever reason, there was some conversation that came up about, like, what do you think each other is good at? And so, like, you know, I said something about my cousin. They were twins, and then they were like, well, what do you think Sammy's good at? And they both kind of just like, oh, Sammy's an encourager. And I had never heard that before. And it like impacted me. I was like 12 years old, man. That's pretty young. And I still remember that experience vividly and being like, yeah, I am an encourager. Like I am someone who builds people up. And I'm proud of that fact. Because that's something that I think that is like that genius, that like bit of me is it's easy for me to do that. It's easy for me to pick out things in people that maybe they don't see or feel or believe about themselves yet and kind of pull it out of them a bit. And like, I love doing that. I really enjoy it. And like, I think God's really gifted me in that. That's why it kind of ties into, you know, the quick hitter question you asked me, you know, what would I do if I couldn't fail? Well, I'd like to do that on a bigger scale. I just like to do more of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I can, you know, in our brief conversation here, I can see that in you. And I know that, you're going to be a phenomenal coach. And I don't mean just like a wrestling coach. I mean like a life coach, right? And I know that you already, you know, work with people and businesses and things like that, and you're helping people. But I think, you know, one day when your wrestling career is done and you decide like, hey, I'm going to leave the shoes on the mat, man, there's going to be a really, really big platform for you to be able to do that and to pour into people's lives and to be able to use that gifting positively impact people. So I'm excited about that, man. I see you in it. I see that in you 100%. And that is a great gift and a great form of genius to have. Absolutely. Last question. Turn your brain off. All right. Your podcast. So, and I want to make sure that, you know, we have show notes and links and ways for people to contact you and to listen to these things. But where did that title come from? What's the meaning behind it? Turn your brain off.
Turn your brain off. So that is, it's a little bit intense, right? So I wanted something that would catch people's attention of turn your brain off, but it actually comes from the baddest man himself, Joe Warren. And it's funny. So when I met Joe, For anyone who doesn't know, he is his name is the baddest man. That's what people refer to him. He was a world champ, Greco-Roman wrestler in 2006. Went on to win three different titles in mixed martial arts. So he is truly a bad dude. And he would always mess with me and be like, dude, you're too nice. You're just too nice. You gotta put it on people. But then, like when it's time to compete, like he's like, just turn your brain off and go out there and dominate. Like be intense. And that's something that like I'm good at doing. I'm like, I can flip the switch, right? I can go from, you know, being who I am to, all right, let's get the job done. And so in practice, like I've just heard it 10 million times, like turn your brain off, go out there and pull the trigger and like take it to this guy. And so when this idea of the podcast came up, I'm like, yeah, I know the name of this. We're turn your brain off because we're talking about using your mind. And like, that's a component of it is like you kind of getting into that flow state. So that is the reason behind the name. It's a little catchy, but also like it hits home for me because it's something I practice every single day.
I love it, man. Very good. Yeah. I have a coach I had on, phenomenal coach that has a very similar mantra, which is shut up and win. And
yeah,
when we got a little deeper, kind of same thing. It was just like, quit talking to yourself, quit worrying, quit whatever. Like, yeah, just turn your brain off and go do it. Kind of the same thing. Yeah. So
that's excellent. Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, my dad, he worked at a horse farm, and he would tell me stories about, you know, working with these jockeys. And one of the things I can remember when I was a little kid, him just kind of showing me like putting I think it's called like they're called blinders, but you know, when you put like the bit on the horse, they put on these blinders and it's on the side of their eyes. And the whole reason is so that the horse can only look forward and it's looking straight ahead of them. And so when there's other horses on the side, they don't get freaked out. They're not looking to the right or the left, but they're staying forward. And so my dad would tell me that story. And then he would liken it to scripture where it's like, man, don't look to the right or the left. You stay on the path, you stay going forward. And so for me, that like switch of like turning my brain off is that when I'm in competition, when I'm in a high pressure situation, I'm not looking around at what everybody else is doing. I'm not letting my mind get overwhelmed with, you know, what if scenarios, doubts. It's kind of like I shut all that down. You know, I do my breathing and I'm locked in. I'm ready to go. And so that's how I kind of look at it. That's what I'm hoping that through this podcast, we can share those tools. And we talk to a lot of athletes. We talk to a lot of business leaders, people from all different walks of life. And like the biggest thing is the intentionality that they bring and like how big of a component that was to their success. So I'm really happy with like, I think it rings true and it makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Yeah. It's got my brain going 100 miles an hour thinking about turn your brain off because it applies in so many situations. So awesome. Well, Sammy, how can people contact you? Where can they follow you on social media and people that maybe want to connect and say like, hey, man, I want to learn from you. Like, how can that happen?
Absolutely. So Sam in the Circle is my Instagram. That is my main Instagram. I'm on Facebook a little bit, but if you reach out to me on Instagram, I am working on getting better at responding to people. That'd probably be the best way to get a hold of me. You can just drop me a message and we can connect that way. Also, you know, following along with Tybo, we're on anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can subscribe to that. And we also have a website, tybothepodcast.com. You can reach out to us that way, get us your email and we'll be in touch that way.
Excellent. Well, I will put all those links in the show notes. So anybody listen, you can just jump right in there, click on the link. It'll take you there so you can connect and you can listen. Sammy, man, it has been a blessing having you on the podcast. I just want to say thank you. You're an inspiration. Keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, all of us in the wrestling community, we're big fans. And hopefully we've now taken some people outside the wrestling community who are big fans as well.
Hey, man, I appreciate the time you give me, Chad. It's been great conversation.
Yeah, you bet. So, all right, everybody, this has been another episode of the Perspective Podcast with Coach P. Make sure that you, man, if someone spoke to your heart today, take notes. And then share this podcast with somebody else so it can speak to their heart as well. May God bless you, smile upon you, and give you peace. Till next time, we're out. Hey, I want to give a shout out to my friends over at Winning Mindset. So you can go to zwinningmindset.com, check them out. If you are an athlete, if you are a coach, they literally do mindset training for pretty much every single sport I can think of, right? Wrestling, martial arts, football, lacrosse, you name it, they do mindset training for it. They also work with corporate sales teams. They work with academic mindset. Winning Mindset is proven. They've worked with the best of the best, professional athletes, all the way down through high school athletes, middle school athletes, Olympians, top D1 athletes and teams. Okay, so the best mindset training in the world. I've used it, been part of their programs. I fully understand it and believe in it. So if you want to give yourself a winning mindset, if you want to give yourself the mental edge and develop world-class peak performance skills, if you want to take what you're already good at and have that growth mindset where you're going to get even better, or you want to be able to shore up some weaknesses, this is the place to go. You're going to get one-on-one coaching. You're going to get team training. So go check out my friends at zwinningmindset.com. Tell them that Coach Chad Park sent you over.
Podcast complete. Now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins. Tell Satan to stay up off of me. Get with a new step. Bounce CSL rep.